B'siyata Deshmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Yotes. We're going to start on the second line of the Omud. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, we learned in a Braisa. Noisnin mezoinois lifnei akelev b'chotzer. If you have your dog in your yard, you're allowed to put food down in front of it in the chotzer. Not leivayotzer, if the dog takes the food and leaves the chotzer with it, something that the owner would not be allowed to do on Shabbos, we do not involve ourselves with it. We let the dog do what it needs to do, and that's okay. Similarly, you're allowed to place some food items in front of a goy in your chotzer on Shabbos. Not leviyotze, if the goy takes it and leaves the chotzer, we do not involve ourselves with him, and we let him leave. And this is only food items, and Tosfos discusses the details here, and it could be you're not allowed to give it to him in his hands, because he might take it out, and you're doing it in Akira, but to put it down in front of him, and assume that he's going to eat it, or start eating it whilst he's still in the chotzer, if then he leaves the chotzer, he leaves your rishus with the remaining food, we do not need to worry about it. Ha'osu lomali, asks the Gemara, Hainuhach, why do I need two cases, two examples, also that I'm allowed to feed my dog, and also that I'm allowed to put food in front of the goy? Says the Gemara, Ma'odatema, I may have thought, Hai Romi Ole, that your dog, that you are responsible and required to feed it, you're allowed to feed it on Shabbos, even though it might go out with the food you gave him on Shabbos. V'hai lo rom yole, but the goy, where you're not required to feed him, you don't have to feed him, maybe you're not allowed to be matriach, you're not allowed to bother yourself and exert yourself to take care of his meals. Komash malon, that's what the Braisa is telling us, you are allowed to give some food and put it in front of the goy in the chotzer, even though he might take it out. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, we learned in a Braisa. Loi Yaskir Odom Kelov Lenochri Be'erev Shabbos. A person is not allowed to rent his vessels, his objects, to a goy on Erev Shabbos. Why? So Rashi says, because it looks as if you're hiring it to him, you're renting it to him, in order to use on Shabbos. And there's a machlokes v'shoinim what Rashi means. Does Rashi mean that there's an issue of Shvisas Kelim, according to Beis Shammai? Or is the problem that it looks like you're making a shliach, as if you're making the goy a shliach on your behalf to do a malacha on Shabbos? Continues the Braisa, Bedalad ubehei mutar. On Wednesday or Thursday, you're allowed to rent to a goy your objects, in order, even though he's going to use them on Shabbos. Ki yitzaboy, ein meshalchin igros. You should not send a letter biyad nochri with a postman with a goy. Be'erev Shabbos, he mustn't leave on Erev Shabbos. B'dalud u'behei, mutar. But on Wednesday and Thursday, you are allowed to. Omro lo val Rabbi Yosi HaKohen, v'omri lo al Rabbi Yosi HaChosid. It was said either in the name of Rabbi Yosi HaKohen or in the name of Rabbi Yosi HaChosid, shelo nimtza ksav yodoy biyad nochri me'olam. He never allowed any of his letters to reach the hands of a goy, because he was afraid that maybe they would deliver it on Shabbos, even though the halacha is that providing you don't give it to the goy on Friday, it's mutter. He was machmir, and he made sure never to give a goy any of his letters. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, Ein Meshalchin Igeret Biad Nochri Erev Shabbos. The Braisa says you're not allowed to send a letter with a goy who's going to go and deliver it in a different town, outside the Tchum, outside the Eruv, in a different Rishus, with a goy on Erev Shabbos. Elohim kein koitzitz lo idomim. However, if you fix the price with him for the service he's doing, then he's not doing the melacha for you, he's doing it for himself. This is his business. And then it would be muta. Beis Shammai oimrim, kedei shiagia lebeisoi, or Beis Hillel oimrim, kedei shiagia lebayis hasomuch lechoimo. Beis Shammai say that even if you've fixed the price with him, you're not allowed to send a letter with the goy unless he can reach his destination before Shabbos. And this has been the opinion of Beis Shammai all along, that you're not allowed to start a melacha on Erev Shabbos if the melacha is going to get done on Shabbos. Beis Shammai holds that in the same way as you're not allowed to sell something to a goy or lend it to him or give it to him as a gift, as we saw in the sugyas previously, so too he's not allowed to deliver a letter for you, and he has to make sure to be able to reach his destination before the onset of Shabbos. And that's even if he's got a fixed price. Bis Hillel says, Kadesh Yagia Lebayis Asamuch Lechoima, it has to be that he does not have to reach his final destination. He has to be able to reach the first home in the city of his destination, and that way, as far as we're concerned, he can put the letter down there. The fact that he's continuing and delivering the letter, he's doing that on his own accord, that's his business, and we do not need to worry about that. Asks the Gemara, V'haloi kotzatz, according to Beis Hillel, and as long as he's doing it for himself and he's not doing it for you, then it's the same as we saw on Yud Ches Amud Beis regarding selling or lending or giving a gift to a goy. And we saw there that according to Rabbi Akiva, who he holds that Beis Hillel hold, that as long as the goy leaves the house of the Yid before the onset of Shabbos, it's already mutter. So here too, why does Beis Hillel say you have to wait, or you're only allowed to let him take it if he can get to the first house of the town of the destination before the onset of Shabbos? He's doing it for himself. It should be mutter even if he cannot reach his destination. And the Marashah says, why are you asking a question assuming that this braisa follows Rabbi Akiva? We saw the Tanakama holds, in the opinion of Beis Hillel, that you have to reach the first home in the place of the destination. So, and then it's not a kasha. So the Marashah deals with that. Omer of Sheishas, Rav Sheishas explains as follows: Hochuk Omer, ve'im loy kotzatz. If kotzatz, then according to Beis Hillel, it's completely mutter. You can give it to the goy, as long as the goy leaves the house of the Yisrael before Shabbos, it's mutter. It's if im loy kotzatz, if he did not make up a price with the goy, then Beis Shammai Umrim ad she'agia lebeis, so you're only allowed to send it if he can reach his destination, his final destination, before the onset of Shabbos. And as it happens to be, according to Beis Shammai, even if he was kotzatz, the halacha is the same. Or Beis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel say that if kotzatz, you can send it with the goy, irrespective of how long you have before Shabbos. And if you are not kotzatz, then ad she'agia lebayis hasamuch lechoima, then he has to be able to reach the first home in the city of his destination. Asks the Gemara, if the argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is talking about when loy kotzatz, that seems to be that if loy kotzatz, you are allowed to send the letter, according to Beis Hillel, providing he can reach the first home in the city of his destination before Shabbos. This seems to contradict the opening phrase of the Braisa. The Braisa said, "Ein mashalchin igeres biyad nochri erev Shabbos." You're not allowed to send a letter under any circumstances with a goy on erev Shabbos, Elohim kein kotzatz, unless you fixed a price. And now we're saying that if you didn't fix a price, according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to send it with a goy. So asks the Gemara of her Omrus Reisha, did you not say at the beginning of this Braisa, Ein mashalchin, you're not allowed to send a letter with a goy if you've not fixed the price, because he's doing it for you, not for himself? Says the Gemara, Loi kasha. It's not a kasha, and I'll explain to you why. Ha dekviya beidavar b'mosa. When we say that it's mutter, providing he can get to the first home in the place of his destination, that's talking about a case where the home of the authorities of the mayor of the town, which is where most of the letters went to, and we're assuming that this letter was addressed to the mayor of the town, and if the mayor is kvia, is fixed, b'mosa, in his town, then as soon as he can reach that town, it's okay. The guy is allowed to deliver the letter. V'ha d'loy kvia, beidavar b'mosa. When it said at the beginning of the Braisa that if it's loy kotzatz, you're not allowed to send it under any circumstances, that's talking about if the recipient of this letter, that we're assuming it's the mayor of the town, if he's not fixed in the town, and there's a good chance that he's not going to be in town, he's going to be in the next town or in a different place, then the goy who's taking the letter, even if he can reach that town before Shabbos, if the mayor is not there, he's going to be compelled to leave that town and continue on Shabbos to the next town. And therefore we say that if the mayor is not fixed in that town, you're not allowed to send the letter. if it's loikotzatz, he's doing it for you, and he may, and the mayor may not be in the city that you're sending him to, and therefore you're not allowed to send the letter at all with the goy. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Ein mafligin besfino pochis migimel yomim koidim l'shabbos. You're not allowed to embark on a journey, on a ship, within 3 days before Shabbos. And there's a machlokes in the poskim, is the 3 days including Shabbos or excluding Shabbos? That means it's definitely osur to leave on Thursday or Friday. It's a machlokes in the poskim whether he's allowed to leave on Wednesday. Says the Braisa, Bamedvor mamurim ledvar arshus. If he's leaving just for leisure, he's not doing a mitzvah, he doesn't have to leave, then don't leave within 3 days before Shabbos. And there are about 6 different mefarshim who explain why, what's the issue with leaving on a ship before Shabbos. Aval dvar mitzvah, if he's going to do a mitzvah, shapir domi, then he's allowed to leave even in the 3 days before Shabbos. Upoisik imoy al menos lishbois, ve'enoy shoivis divri rebi. Rebbe holds that you have to arrange with the captain of the ship that when Shabbos comes, he's going to stop the boat. If he doesn't stop the boat, Lemaisa, if he doesn't do it, it's okay, it doesn't matter. But the arrangement has to be that he's going to stop the boat for Shabbos. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel oimer, einu tzorich. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says you do not even have to make such an arrangement. Once you're on your journey, you're set to go. Umitzur l'tzidon afilu be'erev Shabbos mutar, but to travel from Tzur to Tzidon, which is just 1 day's journey, and on erev Shabbos it was common that in Tzidon there was a marketplace there, you are allowed to set out since it's a short journey. There's no issue with traveling on erev Shabbos from Tzur to Tzidon. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, ein tzorin al ayorois shel nochrim. You're not allowed to set siege on a town of Goyim less than 3 days before Shabbos. Once you set siege and you're in the middle of a war, you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. Don't start such a project within 3 days before Shabbos. Ve'im hischilu, if they did start the siege, whenever they started it, ein mafsikin, you do not need to stop in the middle. Ve'chein hoyo Shammai oimir, and Shammai indeed held that way, that ad ridato, until this city that you're set siege on is totally conquered, you do not need to stop. Afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, you can continue the siege until you win. Continues the Gemara. Omar ibn Shimon ben Gamliel, ne'agin hoyu v'chulu. We're going now back to the Mishnah. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, even though we were from Beis Hillel, and according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to give your clothes to a launderer, a goy, even on Erev Shabbos, and you do not need to worry, does he have time to do the laundry before Shabbos? And B'Shamay say you're not allowed to give it to the goy unless he could finish doing his job before the onset of Shabbos. But Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said that his father used to be makbid and hold like B'Shamay that he would not give it to the launderer unless he could finish doing the laundry before Shabbos. Says the Gemara Tanya, we learnt in the Braisa, Omer Reb Tzodik, the custom in the home of Rabbi Gamliel, they would give white clothes to the launderer 3 days before Shabbos, but the coloured clothes, it takes much less time to wash and clean a coloured cloth than a white cloth, and therefore even on Erev Shabbos it was enough time and he could give it to the goy. And from there we learnt, it's harder to clean white clothes than coloured clothes. And what's the difference? What's the halachic implication of this? Besides for how long before Shabbos you're allowed to give it to a goy according to the custom of Rabbi Gamliel and according to Beis Shammai, Abaya gave a coloured cloth to a launderer. He asked the launderer, how much are you charging me to clean this? The launderer said to Abaya, the same price as for white cloth. Abaya said to the launderer, no, We already know from the Chachomim that it's much easier to clean a colored cloth than to clean a white one. And there's no justification to charge me for a colored cloth the same as you would charge me for a white one. You have to charge me much less. Continues the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Hai man de yoiv mono lekatzra. Is somebody who gives a cloth to a launderer, b'moshcho nesivle. He should give it to him with a measurement, which means the cloth was measured when he gave it into the launderer. U'b'moshcho nishkel mine. And when you take the cloth back from the launderer, you should measure it again. De'itfei, if the cloth is now larger, wider, longer than when he first gave it to the launderer, afsadei, it means the launderer has destroyed the cloth, de'motche, by stretching it. V'ibotzir, and if the cloth is shorter, smaller than when he first gave it to the launderer, afsadei, de'kovtze, then the launderer again, he's ruined it by causing it to shrink, he washed it in water that was too hot, and he's destroyed the cloth. Continues the Gemara. V'shovin eilu ve'eilu she'teanin chulu. We're going back to the Mishnah. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you're allowed to place the heavy stones in the wine press and in the olive press on top of the grapes before or the olives before the onset of Shabbos, even though the squeezing of all the oil or the wine, the grape juice, out of the fruits is going to happen on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, Maishno kulhu de gozrubu Beis Shammai. Why should it be that all the other things Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to do the act of starting the melacha before Shabbos and allowing the melacha to continue and finish on Shabbos? Beis Shammai were machmir. Maishno kiris Beis Habad ve'igule agas. But the beams and the stones of the press of the grapes and the olives, delay gozru, and over there they were not gozer. Why not? Says the Gemara, Hanoch, all the others, di'i ovid luhu b'shabbos, in the event that Yisrael would do it on Shabbos, mechayev chatos, they are seriously osa, whether it's tzevea or bishul or all the other things we learned, is severely osa. And therefore, gozer ruhu b'shamay erev Shabbos im chasheicho. And therefore, Beis Shammai said, because if you end up doing it on Shabbos, it's severely osa, it's chiyuv chatos. Therefore, in order to not get too close to the Issur Chatos, we say you're not even allowed to start the Melacha before Shabbos unless it can get finished before Shabbos, even though you would not be doing the Melacha on Shabbos. However, Koiris Beis Habad ve'igule agas, putting the stones onto the fruits, or the heavy beam onto the fruits, on the olives or the grapes on Shabbos, di'ovid luba Shabbos, even if you would do it on Shabbos, Loi mechayev chatos, it's not punishable by chatos. Loi gozru, therefore, the Beis Shammai did not make a gezeira that it should be osa even to put the beam or the stones onto the press before Shabbos. And to understand this, it's very important that we turn to Rashi on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, where Rashi explains, based on sugyas later on in the Masechta, that of course squeezing grapes or squeezing olives is punishable by chatos. Over here we're talking about that the grapes and the olives have been riskon, have already been chopped up, and therefore the process of the squeezing, the movement of the liquid from within the fruit has already started before Shabbos, and now putting the weight on it is not the actual melacha of separating the liquid from the fruit. That's already been done. All it's doing is encouraging the liquids to leave the fruit quicker. That therefore, doing that on Shabbos is not osa. But of course, if you put these weights on the grapes or the olives before they've been chopped up in any way, of course it's going to be a chiyuv chatos on Shabbos. And over here, for whatever reason, we're assuming that these grapes and olives have been chopped up, and therefore, it would not be a chiyuv chatos if the Israel did it himself on Shabbos. Therefore, according to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to put it on before Shabbos, even though the juices are going to be squeezed out on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Man tana de kol midi de osi memela shapir domi. Who is the opinion who holds that anything that if it would happen anyway, for example, squeezing, if the juices are going to be squeezed out, are going to come out, ooze out of the grapes and the olives on their own anyway, which is what we just explained because they've been chopped up, and therefore the liquids are already on their way out, therefore putting the weights on it, doing it on Shabbos, would not be chatos. Who holds that? Maybe there are some who hold that even though you've already chopped up the grapes, if you put the weights on, encouraging and squeezing the juices out on the grapes or the olives, then there is a chiyuv chatos. And then Bishamai would have to make a gzeira. Bishamai is relying on an opinion that holds that since you've chopped them up already, and the fruits and the juices are now going to ooze out on their own anyway, therefore putting the weights on them would not be punishable by chatos, and therefore he allows you to put it on the grapes or the olives before Shabbos, even though the juices will ooze out on Shabbos. Which opinion is this? That Shapir Domi, that there's no chiyuv chatos to put the weights onto the grapes or the olives if the juices would have oozed out anyway. So there's going to be two opinions in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina. Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, the first opinion in the Gemara, he maintains Rabbi Shmuel. He's got a Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel seems to hold this way. Ditnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Hashum, garlic, Vaboisar, and unripe grapes, Vamelilois, and unripe grains, Sheriskon, like we said, he's already chopped them up, Mipoidioim, before Shabbos, Rabbi Shmuel Oimir, Yigmoir, Mishatechshach. Even though they're going to get finished being pressed on Shabbos, Mishatechshach, it's okay, you're allowed to allow them to finish getting pressed on Shabbos because they were crushed before Shabbos. And this is very similar to the opinion we're looking for. The Bishamai is looking for an opinion that says that since they were crushed, therefore there's no chiyuv chatos to allow the juices to come out and be pressed on Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva argues and says, Lo yigmer, you're not allowed to finish off the pressing of all these things, of the shum, the boisar, and the melilois, even though you've already crushed them before Shabbos, since pressing them out, you're doing the pressing on Shabbos, it would be asa. Rebbe Loza, Omar, Rebbe Loza ben Pedos, who's Namira, he argues with Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, and he says that it's not the Tana Rabbi Shmuel who holds that way, he holds Rebbe Loza here, it's the Tana called Rebbe Loza ben Shamua, who he's the one that holds that something that would ooze out anyway, then making it happen on Shabbos would not be punishable on by Chatos. Ditnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Chalois Dvash, the honeycombs, Sheriskon, they were broken up Be'erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, they're already chopped up. V'yotzu me'atzmon, and the honey oozed out on its own. Osur, you're not allowed to use this honey on Shabbos. Rebbe Loza matir. Rebbe Loza, this is Rebbe Loza ben Shamua. He says it's muta. Since they were riskon, they were already crushed before Shabbos, the honey would have oozed out anyway. Since the honey would have oozed out anyway, then the fact that they oozed out on Shabbos is not called a melocha in any way, and therefore it's mutar. And this is the opinion that Bishamai would be following, that says that since the olives and the grapes have been crushed, therefore the pressing the juices out of them would not be an issa chatos on Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to put the weights on them before Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Maitam le'omak Rabbi Loza. Why did Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina on Omid Aleph say that the opinion that Bishamai seems to be following is the one of Rabbi Shmuel? Why didn't he say the same as what Rabbi Loza ben Pedos said, that it's Rabbi Loza ben Shamua who says this opinion? Omar Lecha, Rabbi Yosi will tell you, I'll tell you why I didn't want to use Rabbi Loza ben Shamua as my proof. Hasam, in the case of the honey, who d'meikara oichel ulebesayif oichel, over there, it's not really called squeezing. Squeezing means you're squeezing a solid, and what's coming out is a liquid. That's called schita. That's an issa of squeezing, or dosh, or whatever similar melach it will be. But over here with the honey, it's a solid before it oozes out of the honeycombs, and it's a solid after it oozes out. So it's not similar to schita at all, and therefore Rabbi Loza says it's mutar. But you cannot bring proof from there to the case of the grapes and the olives, where you are squeezing a solid and producing a liquid. Hocha meikara oichel v'hashta mashke. But in the case of the grapes and the olives, you're squeezing an oichel, a solid, and you're squeezing out of it a liquid. Reb Loza Omar Lecha, Reb Loza ben Pedos, he'll tell you, he says, I hear what you're saying, but I have an explicit source in a brisa that Reb Loza ben Shamua says it's mutter not only regarding the honeycombs, which is a solid before and after, but also regarding olives and grapes. Da afilu zeisim vanovim namishori. It's mutter even to, providing that the grapes and the olives have been crushed before Shabbos, then encouraging and allowing the juices to ooze out of them by putting a weight on it would not be punishable by chatos. Da ha'ki asar of hoishia min arado. When Rabbi Yishia from Narado came, also v'aisa masnita biyode, he had the following brisa in his hand: zeisim v'anovim shariskon me'erev Shabbos, grapes and olives that were crushed before Shabbos, v'yatzu me'atzmon, and the juices now came out on their own, asurin, they're also because it's a form of squeezing on Shabbos. V'Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, and this is the same Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua that we're talking about, and Reb Shimon Matirin, they say it's mutter, because they say even grapes and olives, once they've been crushed, the juices coming out of them are no longer considered a new melacha. Reb Yosi bar Chanina did not want to use Reb Elazar ben Shamua as the shitter that holds, like Bishamai, because he made the difference between grapes and olives and honey. He didn't know this brisa that Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua held exactly the same with olives and grapes. Otherwise he would have said that the opinion Bishama is based on is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. He didn't know that opinion, and therefore he chose Rabbi Shmuel. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ma'itam le omak Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina. Why did Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos choose Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua as the source on which Bishamai was based on, that since the fruits were crushed before, it's no longer called schita by pressing it on Shabbos? Why did he not say that? Why did he choose Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah of Hashum v'Abois v'Amelilois? Omar Lecha, the reason is, Rabbi Elazar will say, Lav itma lo, did we not learn on that Mishnah, Omar Rav Bar Chanina, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, did we not learn in the name of Rabbi Yochanan regarding the garlic, the unripe grapes, and the unripe grains? We learnt as follows: B'mechusorin dikha lekule al meloi pligi. If they have not been pounded yet, they've not been crushed, everybody agrees that it's osa. Ki pligi, what's the machlekes? B'mechusorin shchika. When they have not yet been mashed, they've been crushed, but they have not yet been mashed before they were being squeezed on Shabbos. And then there's a machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that it's muta, and Rabbi Akiva says that it's asa. But that's only providing that it's already been pounded. V'hani nami k'muchusorin dicha domi. And Rabbi Elazar assumes that grapes and olives, even though they are riskon, they have been crushed, but they have not been crushed even to the point that it's considered pounding regarding the Mishnah of Shum v'Aboisa Melilois. And therefore, since the level that they've been crushed is not enough, therefore both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would say that in the case of the olives and the grapes, it's not been crushed enough to be considered that the liquids have already been released. And therefore, both would hold that in the case of the olives and the grapes, it would be asa. That's why Rabbi Elazar had to resort to Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua as the opinion, as the one who holds that, and like Bishamai says, that since they've already been crushed, the furthering the release of the liquids is not punishable by chatos. Says the Gemara, Hoira Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina k'Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, who was the one that said that the Mishnah we're talking about here is following this, the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, therefore he says the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, that the shum, the boiser, and the melilois that were crushed, that the halacha is yigmer mishatech shach, one is allowed to allow the pressing to be finished even after the onset of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, since we've just discussed some of the halachas of the olive press, the Gemara is going to bring another halacha of the olive press, and in that halacha it's going to be a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and consequent to that the Gemara is going to bring a few more halachas which are not really related, but they're also arguing Rav and Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Shemen shel badodin, the oil that's left on the side of the olive presses, umachzolois shel badodin, and the mats that are used to cover over the olive press and the olives, Rav Osar, Rav says they are muktza, and you're not allowed to move them, touch them, or eat them on Shabbos or Yontov. Shmuel says it's muta, they are not muktza. Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that anything that's not been dedicated for a permitted use on Shabbos or Yontov is muktza. And Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon, who's much more makel, and says that anything that could be used in a permitted fashion on Shabbos and Yontov is not called muktza. Continues the Gemara, Hani krochi dezuzi, the mats that are usually used doubled, and they are used to cover the ships. Rav Osar, Rav says that since they've not been designated for something that's mutter to be used on Shabbos and Yontov, they are mukta. Shmuel says that since they could be used in a permitted fashion on Shabbos and Yontov, therefore they are not mukta. Continues the Gemara. Omar Reb Nachman, Eiz Lechalva. If you had a goat that was kept in order to be milked, Verochi Legizasa, or he kept a sheep for its wool, V'tarnegoyles lebeitzasa, he kept a hen for its eggs, V'turei leridya, and he kept an ox in order to plough with it, V'tamrei deiska, and he had dates that he intended to sell, and all these things you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you cannot use them on Shabbos, Rav Osar, Shmuel Omar Mutter, Rav says that since they were not dedicated to something mutter on Shabbos or Yontov, therefore it's muktza. And Shmuel says, since you could use it for something mutter on Shabbos and Yontov, therefore they are not muktza. The kamiflegi beplukta de Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, as we explained, that the machlokes Rav and Shmuel is they're arguing whether we hold like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Shimon. That Rav says that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda and says that if it hasn't been designated for something mutter, then it's mukta. And Shmuel said as long as it could be used for something mutter, it's not mukta, and you're allowed to use it on Shabbos and Yontov. Since none of these animals, not the goat, the sheep, the ox, since they were not, none of them were dedicated and designated in order to be shechted on Yontov, therefore, according to Rav, you're not allowed to shecht them on Yontov. And regarding the dates, since they were not made to be eaten, they were made to be taken and sold, you're not allowed to eat them on Shabbos, they're mukta. However, according to Reb Shimon, he says since the dates could be eaten on Shabbos, and since these animals could be shechted on Yontov, they're not mukta, and you're allowed to shecht them on Yontov, and you're allowed to eat the dates on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Hahu Talmido, there was this Talmid, Da'iri Becharto Da'argiz, and he ruled, and he was in a town called Charto, built by a person called Argiz, and he ruled Kareb Shimon. In Muktza, he was Makel like Reb Shimon. Shamtei Rav Amnuna, who lived in that place, he excommunicated this Talmid. This Talmud asked, or we're asking, V'hok Reb Shimon Sfirulon. The Gemara later on, Daf Kufnun Zayin, is going to say that the halach is like Reb Shimon. What was wrong with what this Talmud did? Says the Gemara, B'asrei d'Rav, Hava, this was a city that was under the leadership of Rav, and Rav, we just saw, paskins and ruled like Reb Yehuda. Lo yiboyed leile mevet hachi, it was a certain zilzal, it was disrespect to Rav, to paskin against him in a place where he is the ruler, where he's leading, and therefore, since you're mevaza, a Talmud Chacham, you're deserving of a nidui, deserving of being excommunicated. Continues the Gemara, Hani trei talmidi. There were two talmidim, chad matzil bechad mono. We're talking about that there was a fire on Shabbos, and you're allowed to, biblically speaking, technically speaking, you're allowed to take out as many items from the burning house, as long as you're not taking it from Rosh HaYochid to Rosh HaRabim. You're taking it, for example, from Rosh HaYochid to an area that you're allowed to carry in, if there's an Eruv, then you should be allowed to take whatever you want. But since you're not allowed to exert yourself and do a tircha on Shabbos, we limited what you're allowed to save. So there was one Talmid who saved Bechad Mona. He took out one big container and he filled it up with food, even if there's 100 sudas in that container. The other Talmid, he took out of the burning house 4 or 5 containers full of food. Rashi says he put all the 4 or 5 containers into a single container to take it out. And what were they arguing about? We're going to see on Daf Kufchof, there's a machlekes Rabbi Bar Zavda and Rav Huna, and based on their argument as to whether one is allowed to take out one big kli with as much food as you want in it, or whether you're allowed to take out 4 or 5 kelim, and we'll wait till Daf Kufchof to understand the details of this halacha. Says the Mishnah, Ein tzoylin bosor, you're not allowed to roast meat, botzil, or an onion, or beta, or an egg, elokadeshi tzoylu miboidoim, you're not allowed to put it onto a spit over the fire just before Shabbos comes in and allow them to be roasted after Shabbos has come in. No, you're only allowed to put it there providing that they can finish being roasted by the onset of Shabbos. The next halacha says the Mishnah, Ein noisnin pas letanur, you're not allowed to put bread onto an oven im chasheicha, just before Shabbos, v'loi charora, and not a biscuit, a cookie, al gabe gecholim, on top of the coals, it's only mutter, providing there's enough time before the onset of Shabbos that the surfaces can become crusty. Rabbi Loza says that the bottom of this charora has to be able to be crusted before Shabbos, and then you're allowed to put it in the oven before Shabbos if that's early enough. And this is true even according to Beis Hillel, because we've seen that even though Beis Hillel do not have a problem with many of the halachas, with many of the precautions that Beis Shammai do, but we saw in the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches that Beis Hillel are concerned for Shema Yechate B'Gecholim. If there's not enough time for it to cook before Shabbos, you may be speeding up the cooking or the baking process on Shabbos. You're going to stir the coals, you're going to stoke the coals, and that's going to be a severe issa on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, Meshalshlin es haPesach betanur im chasheicha, you're allowed to lower the korban Pesach into the oven just moments before Shabbos. Assuming that Pesach is on Shabbos, you're putting the korban Pesach onto the oven, onto the flame to be roasted just a few moments before Shabbos. It's okay, since you have a whole group of people paying attention and belonging to the group eating this korban Pesach, they will remind each other and they'll make sure that nobody chas v'shalom comes to stoke the coals. Umachizin es ha'ur b'meduras beis ha'moikid, in the beis ha'migdosh there was a chamber called beis ha'moikid where there was always a fire burning there in order to warm the feet of the kohanim. They were walking around the beis ha'migdosh barefoot. It's a halacha. There's not allowed to be any chatzitza, any separation between the kohen and the floor of the Azara, and the marble floor was very cold. So in the Beis HaMoikid, there was always a fire there where they could warm themselves up. You're allowed to light the fire, even though the fire is not spread onto the whole bonfire. It's okay, as long as you light it just before Shabbos and allow it to become a full fire on Shabbos. And the reason that's mutter is because the Kohanim are there, Kohanim Azarizim, they'll make sure not Chas V'Shalom to be over any Chil Shabbos. Ubigvulin, however, outside the Beis HaMikdosh, Kadesha Toiches Ha'ur Baruboy, you're only allowed to light a fire if most of the bonfire, most of the woods, will get ignited before the onset of Shabbos, because if not, then you might come to stoke the woods on Shabbos, and that's severely osa. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'pechomin kolshu, if the fire you're making is not with woods, it's with charcoal, then as long as the charcoal have a little bit become ignited, it's before Shabbos, it's mutter, because charcoals do not get extinguished. They naturally will slowly expand and it will become a fully fledged flame as necessary. And there's no reason that you'll be afraid that it will get extinguished, and therefore you'll not come to stoke them, and therefore you're allowed to light them just before Shabbos, even though the fire will not attach itself to most of the charcoal before the onset of Shabbos. And Yemir Tzeshem, in the Gemara, we're going to learn more of the details in the next Shia.